You may not have heard of him, but you will very likely have seen his work. Artist Peter Kent has been drawing and painting life along London's River Thames for 50 years, and his pictures are instantly recognisable. Author Michael John met him at his home, right on the banks of the river, nestled among some of London's most famous buildings.
This deck here, or such, it's in the Victorian times, the dockers and the people who worked on the river had sporting challenges with others, and you could hire your skiffs and boats from this very house. And this is what these pair of houses were built, actually, for people who worked on the river could relax and what have you. This is where you hired your skiff.
And how high is the deck
from the water level?
From the water level below us.
10 foot, something like that.
Yes, something of that.
And at high tide, how close does the water get to the bottom of your deck?
Very, very high. And sometimes extremely high water. A passing ship, the wake from a passing ship can actually plunge through the deck, you know.
Really?
Yes. So you feel very much in touch with the river. And that's one of the joys of living the river. And we were thinking about the sound, how different sound is at low water and high tide and in between. There is only ship movement at the top of the tide or just prior to the top of the tide. People, traders, tug owners, lighters, anybody who does business on the River Thames, they need the help of the tide to get them where they want to go, using less energy and so forth. So the majority of traffic, you'll see about an hour either way of high tide, either downstream or upstream.
So you came here almost by accident.
Absolutely by chance.
And tell me about your first impressions of living so close to the Thames.
Complete and utter joy. We invited our friends to come and have a look where we were asking them, do you think it was a good decision to move down here? I couldn't believe it because we live on four floors in this house, and the view from the top floor, it looks at the greater London area rather than the actual water side. But we have views right up to the city almost, and almost to the O2 and round the corner. And when we see a big ship coming up the river, we can see it above and beyond the O2. And as it swings round, it often turns, the tugs in tow, and they escort it up to the upper reaches to the Pool of London. And this is a port. You suddenly realise this is a port. This part of Greenwich is a port.
Well, and also there's a tremendous life about the Thames, the whole rhythm of the tides going up and down. And
well, here we have, just as we look, there's a police launch again, because they're up and down all the time. But we've got a houseboat coming downstream. I presume they live on this boat on the upper reaches. It looks like a Lincolnshire coaster, which has been converted into a houseboat. And that's another sort of life, completely different sort of life. But you can move your home to wherever you wish, as long as you pay the rent.
That's right.
Because actually, mooring on the Thames is quite expensive.
So you got here.
Yes.
You're already a professional artist.
Well, that's how I've earned my living, yes. And a lot of my subject matter was river-orientated or architecturally-orientated.
So the two things started to flow together.
Absolutely. You've got the right phrase, flow together, absolutely. And you've got the joy of the change of light and tide and what have you, because it doesn't matter what state of the tide, you're aware of the river. We know, just by sound, what the state of the tide is. It's interesting. It's even in the middle of the night, I wake and I hear a thump, 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 and I can usually recognise which ship that is coming up. We have a very friendly, I call it friendly, the prior boats who trade in and out of Deptford Creek, bringing sand aggregate. Originally, they brought it from Fingering Co. on the River Cone, that's the Colchester River, for want of a better phrase, and they came from that sandpit, which I knew as a child. I played in these sandpits, and to have this boat chugging past our window at 3 o'clock in the morning is very reassuring if you have one of those nights, you know.
So you recognise the boats from the pattern of their wash?
Absolutely, the pattern of their wash and the sound of the engine, the thump, thump, thump of that particular diesel engine.
So when did you start your Riverwatch blog?
When we moved here. on the first day, I was telling you that we invited friends to come and have a look at it. And one of the chaps, a good friend of ours, is Desmond Pritchard, who was the publisher of The Guide magazine. And he'd started this, revamped this magazine, which was published in southeast London. And he said to me, Peter, he said, you're obviously enthused about it. Why don't you write a little column? So he did, and Riverwatch was born. And I said, well, we've been here 20 years, so Riverwatch is over 20 years old now.
Yes, because I noticed one of your recent posts was about the rowing club.
Well, here we are indeed.
You live next door to.
Absolutely. We've got a... We're cheek by jowl with the rowing club. And as I said before, you come and go off the river using this firm, hard surface. You wouldn't want to get out at high tide or anything like that. You need the space of a beach to actually get your act together, to get the rows and the craft and the oars, the blades, in position, ready for a good, clean start. And also, likewise, for an arrival from a rowing trip, you need space to get your act together, to get the craft off the foreshore.
And I noticed in your post, you had a terrific old photograph.
I have indeed.
Of this
very
section.
Exactly where we're sitting now, that's right.
How did you come by that?
I found it in a book, actually, on Greenwich, and now everybody uses it.
And when was it taken?
1910, 1920, something like that, yes. Well, here we are in Crane Street, and as we see, there's the boathouse of the Trafalgar Rowing Centre, where the Coke Curlew and the Globe Rowing Clubs have their storage for their boats. And as you see, there's access by a river gateway onto the foreshore, and it's quite a fall, isn't it? You see the drop down there. I don't know how it is, but it's just to actually manoeuvre these lightweight craft. You have to be a bit careful coming into the foreshore, because you never know what you're going to find. At the gateway, you see the surplus sand which the Thames throws up at every high tide.
And this looks like it's a watertight
gateway.
Gate.
It's flood defence, part of the new flood defences. And you see it's jammed between these two buildings. So when the tide comes up and sluices against the gate, the wave often breaks across the top, giving the pedestrians a bit of a shock. Don't expect it. But this is one of the few places on the Thames where you can actually walk onto a foreshore, which is usable. As I say, we're going downhill onto the beach, the sandy beach, and on the left is part of the houses where I live. And you see the pier there, which is built out over the sand and the river wall. The houses are actually built on the river wall.
You can see how sturdy it is now. The pilings are
absolutely
huge, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we never know what we're going to find underneath there. Lying on the beach, you notice how the fall of the beach, you know, it's quite a gradient down to the waterway itself. Well, this was a series of working wharves here. You see Alpha Towage written on the wall, Co?
Yes.
Well, this was the tugs and the lighters which served the great amount of shipping, which was evident in this reach, Greenwich Reach, all the way around. It was covered in anchorages, and you can see one remaining one now just off Ballast Quay. There's a collection of craft moored off there. And look, here we are. Have we got a... This is a four coming off the... They've been practising...
Yeah, rowing.
Rowing, that's right. And then, let's just walk further down here.
And they're just coming past the old power station.
That's
which
right.
I believe is coming back into use.
It is absolutely right. Now, we're looking at this great pontoon where ships from Tyneside, of course.
Coal ships.
Coal ships used to come along. Colliers, you're absolutely right. And there were three massive cranes mounted on top of this pier, which fed the power station with the fuel they needed. Now the power station is generated by jet engines of also. The power is a power station supplies backup electricity for the London transports.
So you've got your Coxless 4 coming in.
Absolutely.
Rowing. Then you've got a Thames Clipper in the background, which is the sort of passenger service on
now
the
Now, have
the
you
Thames.
Noted that that has reduced its speed because there's rowing activity on the beach? The rowers have to inform the harbour master of their movements, and they broadcast that there are warning there are sporting activities going on the foreshore. And there's a workaday barge going
down. Small barge.
Yes, it's got a crane on it. It's for servicing piers, I think. Should we go a bit further down?
Yeah.
And now we go from sand to pebbles, flint. You see a lot of flint here, and chalk, and bits of old metal. And you see the red. This is tiles from the Thames used to be a rubbish tip as well. If builders wanted to get rid of
stuff. Something that looks like an old brick.
Well, there are bricks. There's everything under the sun here. Quite interesting, you know. So oyster shells.
Let's just go back and have a quick look at your house from
right.
here.
Right. Well, as I said, we came through this water gate. You look at the structure back, looking back to our house where I live. Josephine lives at the house on the left and mine's on the right. And you see the top. Ah, there's the sound of the river. That's the Portway tug. She comes out occasionally on the weekend. And that is the sound of old London, without a doubt.
So you recognise the,
oh,
the whistle?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I'll just continue this. See, our house is bang next to the rowing club, the club. This is where...
This is Curlew.
Curlew, and this is where they come out to relax. And party time is well known here. And in fact, we have to put up a little bit of that, of the noise on a Saturday night. Usually about 1 o'clock they get out. But well, we bought a house here to be between, the Trafalgar Tavern and there's the Yacht Pub. So we're used to that. You know, we've been here 20 years. We should be.
Your decking looks more sturdy than theirs.
It does.
Which has got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Well, yes, we built the deck about 10 years ago. And that was an adventure in itself. We had to have the people who built it came from the upper river, and they brought a lighter and a tug to bring all everything. And on another craft, there was a crane mounted on. See, it's dog walking country now. Look, the dogs coming through here. Look, they just love the sand. Look, I'm charging away. Way, freedom.
Quite something to have life buoys hanging from your.
Yes.
What is, in effect, your garden fence?
It is, indeed. Well, it would be stupid not to have everything if we heard anybody in distress. At least we got something we could chuck at them.
All
morning,
right,
fellas.
Rowing crew going past.
Nice
now.
To the river today?
Yeah, it's a bit windy, but there's around Blue Bridge.
Right? OK. Blue Bridge. You know where Blue Bridge is? That's on the Isle of Dogs.
No, I don't know where it is.
Well, look, we're just seeing that Portway tug, which came from Falmouth originally, now in London River, and it's run by enthusiasts. See, it's dressed overall with bunting and what have you.
Doing a quick turn.
Turn. And did you notice the signal? That signal was denoting I'm turning. That's a steam hose. We don't get too many of those nowadays.
The photo from Riverwatch.
Yes.
Where was that taken from?
Just about here. And do you remember? There was a chap in a dinghy, he was one. He was a proprietor of this wharf here.
Shall we take a modern equivalent?
Yes, let's do that. Well, we're actually seeing it now. We're seeing people carrying boats ashore, aren't we? And previously, when there were all these pontoons, as I described, you could row from here at any state of the tide. But nowadays, it's only safe to do it at dead low water. I think you could actually look at some of the things which I've been doing. This is a job I've been working on at the moment. The Grange Foundation, who run the Royal Hospital estate as such, they're the managing agents, for want of a better phrase, are busy getting funds to pay for the regilding of parts of the painted hall and touching up the paintwork and what have you. And I had a flyer from them saying, being an interested person, I might like to donate funds towards the cost. I said, no, I'll do better than that. I'll do a drawing of it. And then you can sell that and create some income.
So when you're starting a drawing like this,
yes.
What's the process?
The process is, first of all, to visit the painted hall. It's an extraordinary lofty hall and difficult to see all the details because it's crammed full of interesting diagrammatical. And here we have, this is the entrance from the lower level up to the upper level where the great and the good sat, and where the lower deck were seated on these long tables. And I decided to actually depict it with a feast going on. I don't know what they will think about it, but I'm anxious to show the painted hall and it's most glamorous.
And of course the painted hall where so many...
Of course.
Historic things have,
yes, and
have
I've,
happened.
I've actually been very fortunate to have been a guest to some of these dinners, and when the Navy left Greenwich, they had a banquet within the hall, which was so emotional because all the naval people remember the greatness and the goodness of being in the Navy in such a wonderful group of buildings. It's like college people do at their universities, you know. It's, at any rate, I'm doing this, and yesterday I had a Nelson buff, Peter Warwick, who is a member of the Nelson Support Club, and he told me that, in fact, there are some plaques just here on my drawing on this upper level commemorating where Nelson actually lay. So I'm going to do another sketch showing the actual position of the quite elaborate staging of the Nelson remains. But this is how it is. You know, this is how I draft things up for people to understand. And a lot of my artwork is of that type of thing.
How much of the Thames have you drawn?
That's a very good question. I've drawn the whole length of the Thames for various guides which have been published. And for... I'll see if I can find this copy of this. Here we are. This was done in 1999. It was a guide to the tideway, and it was a manual for boaters and so forth to see where they could moor and what the events are in the calendar. And I did a whole set of drawings for this, as you see, of the whole of the river, of the navigational river, kind of little up at Teddington. And this is a guide, a river path guide, for navigators and for walkers.
I mean, looking at these drawings, yeah, they have an incredibly technical quality. How much information do you have to absorb come up with this?
I'm greedy. Everything that I depict, I check and double check to see if it's in the right position, the right height, the right quality, the right colour. So the research for it is quite extensive. And I also, as you say, write River Watch. Here we are planning out. Yeah, I have dogs and folly. Where the old pubs? I just actually do so much research. That's my life. I thrive on it. The Thames plays a very important part.
Artist Peter Kent speaking to author Michael John. And you can find out more about Peter's work by visiting his website, peterkentgreenwich.co.uk. And Peter's blog about the rhythm of life on the River Thames can be found at riverwatchreturns.com.